You're listening to Rock at Night. Rock at Night.
Welcome to all. Tampa Earl with you here on the Rock at Night podcast. And we've got a special treat for you today. One of the premier tribute bands in the business is the Australian Pink Floyd Show. I mean, these guys have been around for decades. And we're lucky enough to be speaking to one of the singers of the band, Chris Barnes. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm very well, Earl. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I mean, but one question I've always had for, you know, people that come into bands, you know, later on, how long were you a musician before you were approached to be a part of the Australian Pink Floyd show?
I started doing gigs when I was 14, so that's 1992, and I joined in 2015, back end of 2015. So I can't do the maths off the top of my head, but a long time. I think I've been doing gigs since for about 34 years now. So, and all different types of stuff, not just Pink Floyd, but I was aware of the band for a long, long time. Like you say, they're one of the longest running bands in the business, let alone Pink Floyd bands, you know. Mm-hmm. So they were kind of legendary and established before I even turned up. So I just slotted right in there.
It just kind of slipped right in and joined the flow. That's for sure. How does it feel to be a part of something like that? It's got the band has such a storied history, not only Pink Floyd, but the tribute band. I mean, it's gotta be sometimes you just say, wow, when you're sitting there.
Yeah, very much so. There's a few pinch yourself moments, but it's strange because I saw the band back in 1999 at a venue in Manchester in the UK where I'm from, and they were playing to maybe 800,000 people, something like that. And at the time, I was looking around the room going, God, there's so many people here, you know, this is huge. Not for a minute thinking I'd end up joining the band, but I mean, it was just something, a band I always went to see, kept my eye on, and then I got introduced to them, and then, you know, we became friendly with each other, and then, you know, the planets aligned, and I auditioned in 2015, but they're just a great bunch of guys. They really are. It's an honor to play that music with those people because you know, they're the best around, definitely.
Well, what is the appeal, though, of tribute bands? Why do you think they are so popular?
I think, certainly in our case, obviously Pink Floyd haven't toured since 1994. Obviously, there was the one-off show for Live Aid in 2005, I think that was. And I think if you're doing music that people can't go and see that band now, you're kind of, for some people, they can relive their youth. For younger people, so I never got to see Pink Floyd when they were touring. I've seen David Gilmour, you know, I've seen Roger Waters, I've seen Nick Mason. But yeah, for younger people, it's, you know, oh, you should go and see this band, they play. It's just like Pink Floyd, or, you know, you go and see a Zeppelin band, because obviously Zeppelin don't tour. I mean, I can't speak for bands who do, say, the Foo Fighters, or, right, you know, or Iron Maiden, or people who are knocking out music all the time, Pearl Jam or something. You know, you can't compare those two, because you're kind of a legacy act to an iconic band that are known for their production. So we're kind of, it's not just some guys playing some songs. There's the full stage production. The band has been, you know, the band's blueprint when they formed was, we're going to replicate a Pink Floyd stage show, stage production, as closely as we can. You know, that has always been the thing, and it's not about us on stage, because if you remember from Pink Floyd's days, there was no Freddie Mercury running up and down the front of the stage. You know, they were very quiet, very unassuming, anonymous musicians, really. And that's kind of how we operate, really. It's not about, you know, you say I'm one of the singers. I don't walk on and I'm like, hey!
Right, right.
You kind of stand there, sing the song, and when you're not needed, because obviously, as you know, Pink Floyd, long instrumental sections, Get off the stage. You don't need me cluttering up the stage.
Right. And that is the important part, I think, is that you said it very well. Pink Floyd's not out there touring now, and there are millions of people who consider themselves fans of the band who never saw them.
Exactly. Yeah. So I guess we're scratching that itch, I guess you could say, you know. But I mean, the tribute thing has exploded. I mean, my dad was in an Elvis tribute band back when Elvis was still alive, you know, in about late 76, early 77, just before I was born. He joined as a bass player in this band that was just playing bars around Manchester, but they then did theatre tours and, you know, and it expanded and things like that. And I guess I get the bug from him. But yeah, the tribute thing was so small, so small. There was like the Ozzy Floyd, the Bootleg Beatles, Bjorn again. Those were the big guys that you would know of. And they just seem to be around forever.
There is no pain you are
Well, what do you prioritize, or what does the Australian Pink Floyd show prioritize? The musical interpretation or the stage presentation? Or are they both equally important?
I think both are important, yeah, because yes, you've got to work the every guitar sound or keyboard sound or the vocals sound as accurately as you can get them to sound. But again, as we said, they were known for that the big stage productions. Pink Floyd were always on the cutting edge of what became kind of things that everybody does now, with the stage productions. But they were doing that quadraphonic sound they were doing in 67. I mean, that's insane when you look at that now. But yeah, they were always on the, whether it's inflatables or the circle screen showing the projection films. Obviously, it's an LED screen now. Technology does move on. And I do think now, as technology moves on, it does make life certainly easier for us. I wouldn't want to be lugging around all the things that they did. You wouldn't, we do it in three trucks. You'd need 30 trucks to take all that stuff around. Things become a lot more reliable, a bit more inexpensive. So you do. I mean, again, you're talking to a singer. So how much lighting rigs cost you? I haven't got a clue. But yeah, the things that you hear, the advances in technology. I imagine if Floyd were still going now, they would be at the cutting edge of whatever is next. Whether it's the, when you think of that ABBA show that's been around for a while now, that seems to have broken new ground. And I've heard that Kiss, big Kiss fan, that Kiss are planning to do something with digital representations of themselves. So things are always on the, things are always being developed. And I always think that if Pink Floyd was still a going concern, they would be right at the front of the pack, leading the way.
I think you're right there, but it's also still nice to have those touches with the past. And during the Australian Pink Floyd show, you do have those inflatables that Pink Floyd actually used at one point.
I believe before my time, there were some equipment that was actually either purchased or I'm not sure what the deal was, but certainly now in 2026, what we have on stage are our own versions of things, whether been redesigned or whatever. But yeah, but even if we use something for a couple of years, it starts to look a bit tired and it gets replaced. I think we've got a new Skippy or a new teacher coming soon. I can't remember. I did hear some stories of, oh, this is going, or a new pig. I can't remember. But sorry, excuse the train just passing. It's like being on in the Blues Brothers film where I live.
It can't be that bad because that was the L and that was also the 70s. So, well, the upcoming tour is going to be a lengthy one. I mean, you're crisscrossing the United States. How do you keep the set list fresh, for fans that are going to be seeing the show?
Well, this year's it's a good year this year because it's not we're not focusing on a particular album like we've been doing some anniversaries of Dark Side and Wish You Were Here or whatever.
Yeah, you've
And
got a couple of years until you got to do the wall, so.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, things like that. So what you can do is obviously you're gonna that people are gonna want to hear Shine On and Wish You Were Here and Another Brick in the Wall and some music from Dark Side. And once you've got that kind of, you've got to play those songs and they say some stuff from the wall, then you can mix it up with what else you put in the set. And you've got to represent Syd Barrett and you've also got to represent after Roger left and you've got the albums that came out with David Gilmour leading the band. And I think once you look at things and you could say, honestly, I was saying this the other day on an interview that the conversations around set lists are endless. They really are. It's, well, what about this? Well, we've not done that for a long time. Or, when Steve, our founder member guitarist, retired sort of post-COVID, and Luke joined the band, our guitarist on stage, right? He just said, "Well, why don't we do Marooned?" Which we'd never done, and it'll be like we stuck Marooned in and it brought the house down every night. I mean, you don't need to know that to be blown away by how beautiful it is. So the conversations around set lists, like I say, this year's not an album year, so we can it's advertised as the greatest hit. So there is something for everybody there. If you like the psychedelic stuff, or you really like the big conceptual things of the 70s, or you like the later stuff, if you want to call it the stadium years with Gilmour fronting the band, there's plenty of that material as well. And it's good. It's good to keep. And if you say what keeps it fresh is because the night itself is different. You know, we're the same people, we're wearing the same clothes, playing the same songs, but the room's different, the stage is different, and most importantly, the audience is different. The vibe coming from the crowd makes such a difference to the evening, you know. I always say that you guys over the pond there, you have a big party and we just turn up and play the music. You know how to have a good time, don't you? So that's always fun.
Yeah. Now, what is your personal favorite era of Pink Floyd? Do you see yourself, more of the mid-70s, or the 80s work, or maybe even Syd Barrett's work?
Yeah, I did. I grew my introduction to Pink Floyd came from the Relics album. So I thought that Pink Floyd played that they were a band who did See Emily Play and Arnold Lane and Bike and all these kind of things. And I had no idea. I was about 5 or 6 when I heard this music, and I had no idea the night that I watched the Pompeii concert from the early 70s. And I was sat there thinking, well, this Echoes thing is where's See Emily Play? What's going on here? Why is he sat on the floor playing the guitar with a slide? But by the end of that concert, I was, yeah, this is amazing, man. You know, I'm like, I'm gonna go out and buy this album. I had to go, but this is pre-internet, go out and find a copy of Metal, So my favorite era is probably, I would say, Sid up to Dark Side, truth be told. But there's nothing wrong with all of it. All of it is great. It's just an al it's a catalogue of music that covers so many different areas and genres. It's very rare that about it's not AC/DC,
Yeah, I mean there is distinct differences. I mean, from the time the start of Pink Floyd with Syd Barrett till there is now with with some of the stuff they did from Momentary Lapse of Reason and things like that. I mean, completely different directions that were all in the same band.
It's a very interesting journey to go on. If you sit and listen to the albums chronologically, you wouldn't even think you were listening to the same band. If you listen to, say, even sort of 2 albums on from Piper at the Gates of Dawn, you've got the Moor soundtrack, which has got the Nile song on it, which sounds like, I don't know. What were they called? I can't, my mind's gone blank. But it's kind of proto heavy metal, And then you've got the space rock stuff and the experimental things, which I really love. I love all that kind of when things go on for 25 minutes on bootlegs. I love all that. But and then you get when they sort of hone down to right, this is what we're good at, and you've got Metal and Obscured by Clouds, Dark Side, which we hear, Animals of the Water. They found their sort of area to work in. And then after that, just as people left and technology changes, it's just so different. You can't put Dogs of War on and think, well, this doesn't sound like Dogs, but this doesn't sound like Bike, but this it's that's what's great about it. That's what's really, really good about the Floyd catalogue.
And that's one of the things that people need to realize about bands is they're never going to stay the same. They're
No.
going to grow and they're going to diversify what they do.
I mean, I can remember the Division Bell album coming out. That's my earliest kind of I remember and some live footage, and they're all there in the sort of 80s suits, and I just thought, well, what's this? I didn't know anything, But I remember Division Bell coming out and being really excited by that. I was 17 when that came out, and I thought that was a real return to form. I thought it was a great album.
Well, I know that the show is coming up Friday, July 24th. You're going to be at the Australian Pink Floyd show will be at Ruth Eckerd Hall. It's going to be a great evening of music. I mean, first of all, it's Pink Floyd. Secondly, your shows, I've been looking over some of your previous work, and it is almost, I don't know whether this is a compliment or not. It's almost actually like watching Pink Floyd.
Well, we must be getting something right then.
I guess, yeah, I guess you're right there. You're doing it right. But if
Yeah.
you, but if people are Pink Floyd fans, this is a show that you want to see because you guys are meticulous about not
Brilliant.
only the music, but also the look of what's going on.
Yeah, very much so. An expression that was used once, which I picked up on, was we're like professors in a laboratory working on the sound. When we all get together and rehearse something new, there is so much pre-practice before you even get in a room to make sure sounds are right. And then also, then people go, well, maybe you should try, maybe that should change. Like, well, what do you think about, should I use this guitar or should I use this guitar? You know, that kind of conversation goes on. And then at the mean, while we're doing all this, our lighting designer, Tom, is working on how the song will look. And then we get kind of mock-ups of how things look and the conversations had around that. Again, above my pay grade, these kind of decisions. But it could be that we get out in Europe at the start of the year and we think, well, the set list isn't quite working there, so we might flip a few songs around. And Tom, we might need to make this darker or lighter or more smoke, or I don't know. I'm just using sort of generic terms here, but the sort of ongoing quest for perfection never stops, whether that's guitar sounds or keyboards, or how the show looks, or the screen films, or how we're singing the songs, how the harmonies are working, you know, even down to the, I don't know, the girls' dresses and the dances that they do. These are all important things.
You said it well there, striving towards perfection. That is
Yeah,
the bottom line.
absolutely. Yeah. And that's something that happened way before I joined, you know, that is the Ozzy Floyd ethos, and I sort of jumped on the train, and I firmly believe in that. And you can't be complacent and think, well, yeah, we're great, because you're an idiot if you do that.
Yeah. Well, it is going to be July 24th. Ruth Eckert Hall, the Australian Pink Floyd show. We've been speaking with Chris Barnes, the vocalist with the band. Chris, thank you very much for the time you've spent with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me on the show. Cheers, Earl.
Home.
But it was only fantasy. The wall was too high, you can't see. No matter how he tried, he could not break free. And the worms ate into his brain.
You're listening to Rock at Night.